Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, Vegan and Veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are jumping back in. The party have defeated the Feywild Manticore, this extremely powerful manticore that was harassing villages and has been dispatched by the party and a new group of companions, the Knights of the Splendid Panoply, led by Lady Penelope, have accompanied the PC and offered to escort them somewhere in return for their aid. And the plan, I believe, was to head to a centaur settlement to kind of gain rest, take a moment's respite, but also maybe try and find out a little bit more about Rosemeadow before heading on to Heartspire, which is Thalia's homeland, home kingdom, birthplace, and deal with this curse that's going on. The Knights of the Splendid Panoply waste no time. Once they've butchered the Manticore corpse for trophies, gathered everything up, they begin leading you out of the woods. Not really taking much moment to respite, claiming that it's a few hours away, basically, this centaur camp to get to the edge of the woods. You'd already traveled about six, seven, 8 hours beforehand, and it's a couple more hours now to reach the edges of the wood.
Pretty eventually, exhausted. At this point.
Yeah, and it's you just had like a pretty gnarly fight as well, so there's definitely some injuries and stuff going around. But yeah, you guys make your way. The knights leading the way. Eventually, they do find their little musician, their satyr Dago, and they head out. The blue luminous leaves and the lilac grass and the blue flowers of this wood become thinner and thinner. The trees eventually starting to grow sparser and further apart until eventually you begin to see the sight of green grass fields rolling out on the horizon. You begin to see mountains, although from this distance, as large as they are on the horizon now, you can only imagine the size that these mountains would actually reach, far higher than any natural mountain ever could. One of the spires seems to reach so high it disappears not just beyond the clouds but into the atmosphere, potentially reaching up all the way into astral space. But the knights and Lady Penelope lead you down onto out of the wood. Once you're kind of out of the immediate kind of vicinity of the glade and the cover of the trees, it doesn't take long, maybe another hour's journey, before you find a dirt kind of road, a traveler's road that stretches east to west. And after a short journey, you come into view of a lake that is pristine, crystal clear. There are actually rocks that float above it with a seemingly perpetual waterfall that just seems to flow into the lake, that then becomes several meandering rivers that descend. And on the edges of the lake, you can see bright, colorful Bedouin tents, marquees, and wagons. And roaming around, you see small centaur children, foals running around, being chased by parents. You can see artisans. You can see cooks and people making like meals out on big long tables. All of them have long flowing brown chestnut hair. Their bodies are all kind of like dappled horses. They seem to be in the process of merrymaking and just general rest. But their bright, colorful tents sitting on the edge of the lake creates this very picturesque camp-like spot.
I'm just looking at Rose Meadow to gauge her response to all of this.
Rose Meadow, I think all through the journey, she's just constantly, you know, finding new things to be excited about as you make your way through the woods. But upon seeing the lake, her attention is first taken by the lake, and she just marvels at the beauty, kind of like, oh my goodness, kind of just amazed by it. But there is, I think Quill would sense this, anybody with an insight, passive insight of 15, there is trepidation when she sees the centaurs. There's actually the first signs of a little bit of nervousness. Her hoofs just kind of scraping against the grass, kind of wringing her hands. It doesn't say anything though.
We have made it after the longest journey. Rosemary, are you okay?
Oh, yes, Bertie, yes, I'm fine. Just there's so many wonderful things here to see, and you know, I just, those folks down there, they look awfully busy, and I don't want to trouble them. And, you know, we've traveled such a long way, like you said, but we have your friend that needs help. And
you can see that she's unsure. She wants to go. You get the impression that she wants to go and speak to the centaurs, but she is obviously nervous about doing so.
Look, if you want us to go forward and introduce ourselves first, you can stay behind us. As with the rest of the journey, we'll keep you safe. You don't need to make the first move. We can do that for you.
That sounds nice. Yes, please.
And she just kind of nods. She kind of looks around to everybody else. The Lady Penelope will say, well, if you wish, we will probably go down and ask the centaurs for a night's rest. We will probably rest here this evening. So if you wish to do so with us, you are more than welcome.
Okay. Now, it's been a long time since we've walked into a new town and not immediately been recognized. So I can't exactly remember how we used to do this. It was normally, hey, everyone, we're here to unearth an ancient evil. Let's ruin everything for like a week or two and then save everyone. That's normally how it goes.
Now, quickly, Ayla's got her hand up, and I'm very worried that she wants to take the lead on introductions.
No, I was going to remind you.
Yes, go for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to take offense at that because it's true. I was just going to inform you that I will, in fact, be standing at the back of the group, and that's probably for the best. Just let me know when
you can stay next to me, Ayla, and like Rose Meadow will lick your arm.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Yeah. Physical contact. Yay.
What about the delightful part? You keep saying you're.
I am a delight. But many people in many worlds now. We've been to several. Don't really think so. So, I mean, to give us our best shot initially, maybe you and Quill can lead it. Maybe Lucius. I'll be here. I'll be delightful in the back. Thanks.
You hear you hear a little voice from behind Thalia. A little Kyrie kind of just sticks her little head out, like folding her wings, her kind of feathery wings around. She's like,
Quill's very nice for somebody to go and introduce themselves. He was the nicest one to me.
And like, she just kind of like says that, like, sticks a little head out.
That's adorable. Thank you.
okay, And I think I'll go forward. Who wants to come with me?
Well, I think Quill and Sentry are the nicest people we know.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously me and Nerva are very, very close second, right?
Thalia will actually hold Nova's hand and say, I think I should linger near the back, and I prefer if you stayed with me, just because I don't want anybody to recognize me. It's been a long time, but Fae have long lives. They may know who I am.
My priority is you, and plus, I want to hold your hand. Let's go hold hands in the back.
Part in the back with the people who don't do well with interaction!
I do well with interaction, but other people don't seem to react very well to my interaction. I think I've been called the word intense before. Don't really understand
it. Yeah, I would definitely use that to describe you, dear.
Lucius is just dreamily clasping his hands near his cheek and just smiling at the hands that are being held. It's so romantic.
Thalia, just looks at you and sort of narrows her eyes. Meanwhile, Sentry and Quill, sounds like you guys are the front party to go and introduce yourselves.
Okay, we just stride in and say hello to someone. You're the morale officer, you should do this. You're going to be the best at this, I'll be honest.
Normally waving works.
I can
go in there, big friendly wave, hello! And then
when Sentry does that, a few of the centaur foals, the kids, stop, and they wave back.
It's working! Hello!
Oh, hello!
Oh, you're so cute!
Okay.
They immediately gallop towards you. Like, they come at a full run. Do you try and move out of the way? Are you going to, try and move? Because you don't know if they're going to stop. Like, they're running at you. What do you do?
Oh, yes! This way!
I mean, I'm going to float up a bit so I'm above them if they do decide to charge straight into me.
Lucius is wide-armed and bracing.
So they gallop up, and then just before they reach Sentry, they do manage to put the stop, but one of them, you mentioned, who's a bit younger, does stumble, and they sort of buckle their legs a little bit, and they do kind of have to catch themselves. But they do kind of pull up and they look at you, and one's got a little kind of gap in the middle of their teeth. Like, he's a young boy with curly brown hair that kind of spills around his shoulders. And he's kind of got a bit of a goofy looking face, big kind of wide eyes. And he's just look at you. You're like a metal woman. Oh, wow. And he's just amazed at you and just I've never seen anything like you before. And kind of dancing up. And then the little girl kind of is just oh, where are you from? Where are you from? And it's looking around at everybody, basically.
Sentry will crouch down just so she's more on their eye level. Just be like,
yeah, because these are kids. If it was a normal centaur, you probably wouldn't need to, but because these are kids, you kind of take a knee and they kind of look up at you. And the boy comes forward and he's like, can I touch? And he's pointing at your arms and stuff, and he wants to touch them.
Yeah, go for it. It's all metal.
He's wow, cool. And he's just really just, curious. They're just amazed and bewildered by it all. The young girl is peering at everything. She's oh, Edwin, they've got knights. And then she points at the Lady Penelope, who are just, they bow their heads and kind of gesture. We should go and tell Ulstice. Go and tell Ulstice.
Wait, who is this Ulstice? Is this the mayor of the town?
I don't know what a mayor is. He's our commodore. He leads our family. He's the head of our family.
Oh, well, if you wish to speak to your commodore, then we would love to come with you.
Come. And the little boy is holding Sentry's hand and is tugging her along. And the young girl one is bouncing up all around everybody, and comes and looks at Quill and is just oh, Birdman, and kind of ruffles your feathers, and then looks at Lucius and this one's got blonde hair, and I haven't seen blonde hair like that before. And they just bounce around and stuff like that, completely amazed by everybody. They kind of look in Ayla's direction. And I think that there is amazement, but there's that kid's thing of oh, she does look big and I don't want to bother her, but she looks amazing. And they're kind of scared to approach, but they, still are amazed by it all.
She'll look at this
big cat.
She'll just look at them and be hi.
And then they get distracted by the big cat. They're like, a big cat! And then they run over to big cat, who's like, wow! Like, gets, like, all backs, like, back goes up, and he's like, kind of, like, getting he don't angry like with that. Them and stuff. And they're like, oh, silly kitty, and then they just bounce around. But yeah, they basically start leading you down to the water's edge, and you can already see a bunch of adult centaurs have seen this happening, and they've started congregating in sort of, like, their little camp. There's, like, a bunch of tents. There must be sort of, like, 7 or 8 big Bedouin tents. There's a number of, like, marquees set up with, like, big long tables. All of it, there's no chairs. All of the tables look like they're meant to be, like, the centaurs kneel at them, so they kind of get on their legs and crouch down. There's no chairs or beds or anything like that you can see. It is a camp
design for
centaurs. Are they,
like, standing desks for humans?
Kind of. They're more like, so I guess they would be like desks, and the centaurs, yeah, do that horse thing where they, like, go down on, like, they kind of fold their legs right up and they sit down. Yeah. But they're like, you see some craft stations, and the craft stations are basically standing desks. Yeah, like, they're highly raised up. Like, you guys wouldn't be able to use them. They're so high. Cool. Yeah, and one particularly big looking centaur male is right in the middle of the family, and you can see that they wear, like, a leather apron with, like, all hand decorated designs down their front. They're not wearing any other clothes. They literally just have, like, this leather apron and then a belt with, like, loads of tools on it. Like, it looks like leather workers' tools. Cool. And he's, like, rubbing his hands. He's got, like, graying brown hair tied into an extremely long ponytail that's all braided, and it hangs down loose by his side. His tail has also been braided, and there's all sorts of, like, leather wraps and decoration have been woven in amongst the braids. As soon as he sees you, he's just like, I bid you welcome. Welcome to the Fair Meadows family, travelers. Welcome, please. Come sit, eat, partake in a moment of rest with us. Not often that we see knights and travelers on the road.
Fantastic. So easy. Honestly, I didn't expect such hospitality straight away. We were preparing waves, all that sort of thing.
You're very lucky to come across one of the meadow roamers, my friend. We are friendly folk, all of the families. I'm Ulstis Fairmeadow. I lead the Fairmeadow family, and I know I welcome you wholeheartedly to my camp. And please come sit. I'm afraid that we often don't have many visitors of your kind, two legs. So we don't have chairs, but we have plenty of cushions that you can come and sit upon. And I think my wife's just dealing up a lovely bit of lunch for us all.
Delightful. We've been traveling a long time, and anything to sit on, I mean, we're used to the ground at this point, but we'll definitely take a cushion.
Oh, come. And then his eyes are kind of glancing over everybody, and then he sees Rosemeadow, and he's like, oh, well, I didn't know. Well, first of all, I didn't know that you traveled with another meadow roamer. Of course you're welcome. A friend of any family is a friend of the Fair Meadow. Come, sister. And he gestures to her, and Rosemeadow's like freaking out. Like, Rosemeadow is like, I don't know what to do. I don't know these people.
take Rosemeadow's hand just gently. Just, it's okay, Rosemeadow. Just start by saying hi, small steps.
Hello. And she kind of manages to look. I'm sorry. I don't really remember much. I don't know your family. I don't know who I am. And she just kind of blurts it out, like, because this guy's like calling her sister and like saying, yes, come. Who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, my dear. I don't know what's befallen you, but of course, well, you're clearly a meadow roamer like us. Yes, come. And he just gestures very softly. Did my good metal lady? Did you call her Rose Meadow?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I just as well. You should come and sit. And obviously, your friend here is a little nervous. Come, my girl. And he gestures to Rosemeadow, like, you shall have a fine seat, and we'll get you something to eat and something to drink, something sweet, perhaps. And she's like, yes, I like sweets, yes. And he's like, of course. And he gestures. And then he says, we should talk more. He gestures to you, Sentry. We should talk more about your friend and your travels and these reasons that you've come to our camp. We love to tell stories around the fire at night, and perhaps you can share one with us in exchange for a bit of food and a bit of drink and a bit of rest. But come, and he sits, and you guys have a moment. Is there anything you guys want to talk about, or like talk amongst yourselves, or like do? There's plenty of, like, you can see that there's all sorts of different centaurs here. Like there's maybe about 20 or so, 20, 21, 22.
I think I'd just brief everybody a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
These people seem absolutely wonderful. And I think we should also be a little cautious with how open we are. I'm sure they're going to be very open with us. Certain details, and I look to Thalia, we don't necessarily need to inform them about.
She nods. Also, and I'm sure that this fellow means well, if anybody offers you anything here, ask and make sure that they do not expect anything in return.
Oh, there's for always you, a deal.
Do not eat, do not drink, do not do anything unless you are certain it is being freely offered. You must. They must say it out loud that it is freely offered. This is a place where things like that can be very magically powerful.
Right.
Oh, now you've got me thinking. How did he offer the food and the cushions to us?
Don't sit in it, don't eat it.
I mean, we haven't sat down, right? Nobody sit down!
Just ask. In fact, let me ask. And she will say, excuse me, Ulstice, was it? And he turns and he says, aye, fair elven lady. Yes, indeed, Ulstice Fairmeadow. And she's like, would you please confirm that your offering is given freely without expectation or cost? And you see, he kind of looks at her and his eyes kind of shift a moment. And he kind of nods. Oh, well, you're obviously used to dealing with those fey nobles and the archfey. We don't do those kind of tricks here, madam. I offer food, drink, rest, and succor for freely with no obligation. Please. We mean you no harm. No tricks. We're not some pixie coven. We're not some satyrs out for shenanigans or mischief. We're just simple folk who enjoy good company. You can be at ease here.
Well, of course. We wouldn't take these things so freely. We have many fantastical stories to share with you.
Indeed, fantastical stories. And if by any chance I can see that you travel in the company of knights, we have people here that can attend to weapons and armor and craftsmanship. I happen to be a bit of a craftsman myself, an artisan. If there's things that perhaps I could make you in an evening, perhaps, I'd be more than happy to exchange goods for gold or jewelry that you carry. All such things are always useful to a traveler. But yes, indeed, come. And he gestures. And you can see that, like, already the other centaurs have brought out big cushions, like horse-sized long cushions, very thick, very plump, and they've pulled them out of wagons and they've laid them out so that you can sit next to each other. So it's like, rather than being long ways for a horse, they put them sideways so that two humanoids can sit down on them. And they begin setting them around a table and they bring out food. It's simple food. It's nothing fancy. It's things like basic bread rolls, like a tub of butter, some fruits, some vegetables, some like nuts and things like that. But it's all, you know, it's stuff that they could easily offer freely and not worry about the cost of too much. And yeah, they begin laying it all out on the table for you.
A fine banquet.
Oh, no, this is no banquet, sir. Not at all. This is merely what we can offer travelers for free. If you have a little coin to repay us, I'd be more than happy to bust out our finest supplies. We've got fine meats and all sorts of treats and sweets and drinks that we can share as well. But unfortunately, that we only have in limited stock, so I must ask for a little bit of coin in return. But this we offer freely.
Of course, thank you. We'll look at your wares shortly, I'm sure.
Of course, yes, indeed. Well, I can also, I'm very blessed. We happen to be on a string of nights of full moons here on Lunaria, and thanks to the power of the moons and a certain little relic I carry, I can actually make things in the evening. I can make things overnight if there is something that I can make, perhaps, to aid you.
You are connected with the moon. You're empowered by it.
I'm one of the, perhaps this is all a bit much, but the middle roamers, we call ourselves, centaurs of a certain disposition. We have different families, and in mine, we carry an artifact. It's been passed down, it was passed down from my grandmother to me, and from her grandmother to her, and so forth. And it allows me, it's a hammer of fine craftsmanship, and it allows me to make things very quickly. that would take weeks for others, I can make in a matter of hours, but only when the moon is at its right height. I can only do it all the time.
Phenomenal.
A limited amount of things I can make, but fine boots that can make your walk as quiet as a pixie in a dew covered forest.
I look at Sentry.
Deep bags that can carry more things than you can imagine. I can make things of wood. Anything of wood or leather, I tend to be able to make. I'm no blacksmith, but I can carve wood and I can craft leather very well.
These all sound phenomenal. I think we could use them all. How much would you take for some sneaky boots?
Oh, boots of that nature, not much. 500 gold, I imagine I'd be able to part with it. But I could make as many as you need. Such a simple thing. Cobbler like myself.
Sneaky boots.
And in the Fae, is there such thing as negotiation? A back and forth. Is that disrespectful?
I mean, I'm not trying to cheat you of any money, sir. I charge you what it costs to make the materials and a little bit extra for my years of experience. Nothing more. I'm no city-dwelling merchant. Charge you probably twice or three times the price. I charge what I can afford to make, so I don't tend to negotiate on my prices, unfortunately.
Right.
But perhaps, if there's a good reason, perhaps if you can convince me you're worth it, I could... maybe treat you as one of the family.
Well, I'll let everyone else think about what they could potentially benefit from. I'm just going to have this bread roll.
Before we air too close on the side of business chat, when
600
we
gold,
be,
no less.
Well, let's get comfortable and get to know each other as new family members. I think we may as well spend a little bit extra just to make this meal a little bit nicer. Those treats and drinks and things you were talking about.
Of course, indeed. If you can spare us 10 gold, I'll bust out my finest stocks.
Oh. Okay, I thought it was more.
Well, it's
in that
like
case, let me
food.
Get my chest out real quick.
I mean, yeah, like, you guys can, like, easily just give this guy 10 gold, and yeah, he brings out, they start, like, cooking up food, and they start, like, bringing out sweets and things like that, laying them in bowls and things like that, easily.
I think in the interest of time, Lucius would regale them with tales that we are not from here, if you didn't notice, and then where we're from, and the generic Erois and the cradle and things like that. Not specifically our mission as to why we're here, but we are just visiting, we're traveling. That sort of thing.
Indeed. Oh, yeah, they listen. Ulstis doesn't seem to focus too much on it, but all of the other centaurs, like, and you can, one thing you would all pick up on, actually, everybody here calls, like, so all the kids, you hear them call multiple people mum and dad. You hear the adults call multiple people husband and wife or like brother, like this is a very big family. Like all the kids are kind of related and stuff like that. This is like one of those, like they are a family unit together, even if that means not related by blood. Like, you know, all the adults are mothers and mothers and fathers to all the kids. Like it's that kind of like they all integrate together and work together kind of thing. Big family unit.
Okay.
And yeah, they all listen. The kids love the stories, like especially Lucius, I can imagine with a high charisma kind of like really telling them in this kind of like, you know, embellished and sort of, you know, very eloquent way. They love that. They listen to it. They're quite happy to listen to those stories. Ulstis definitely listens, and you can see he's the type who's like listening for like more things than just what you're basically telling, and he's kind of watching you all as he does, but he plays the part of the gracious host, you know, always checking to make sure you have enough drink, always making sure that you're comfortable. How long do you guys want to stay here? Like, is this like a you want to stay till evening, or are you just taking like a short rest, like an hour long thing, or do you want to take like a long rest here?
I mean, I feel like this would it's intentionally a short rest, but it sounds like it's extremely comfortable and that we're in, Quill is enjoying it a little bit too much that it could just last longer than that.
Yeah, unless Nova Century interjects with some stats.
We gotta move.
Yeah.
Sentry's got a level of exhaustion from the lance.
Mm-hmm. So a long rest is the only way you're going to get rid of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Nova kind of whispering with Dahlia in the back would kind of
encourage actually that we do spend a long rest, because she'd say to Thalia that, like, you know, this is the first time you've been back here in how long? Let's
a long time.
Enjoy it for a moment. Take also, this moment to enjoy it.
You should ask them about Heartspire. The knights didn't seem to know that much, but maybe these folks will. We should try and find out whatever information we can. Thank you. I don't want to raise too many suspicions about me. If I start mentioning Heartspire, maybe they'll start thinking, oh, that elf looks familiar. She's like definitely, you know, like staying quiet.
You know I'll be careful. Of course I will be. But let's just take this moment to just look around and and reconnect, maybe.
Yes. I'm glad that we came across these people to begin with. I would have hated it if we'd encountered one of the noble houses or something like that. It would have been a very different experience. But this is the part of the Feywild I missed. Folks like this, places like this.
Can you see the stars from here? Do we get stars? Are there stars?
Well,
here?
There are. The Twilight Nebula kind of casts even the night sky. It's not too dissimilar to your cradle, really. It doesn't cover it up entirely, but it gives everything a sort of haze. But it also makes some of the stars shine brighter sometimes. You'll see. You'll see. A place like this, though, and she gestures at the lake. This will be a nice place to spend the evening.
Yeah, maybe you can teach me some new constellations.
We don't really have them. We don't name the stars here. The stars, before Valkyrian arrived, the stars to the Feyfolk were not places to visit or things out in astral space. They were beings. They were gods or heroes who ascended to become stars and things like that. We don't really have constellations, but I can definitely tell you a few stories.
I'd like that.
Sure. Just kind of like sits with you and sort of like presses up against you. Big Cat has found a big cushion and is like dragging it over towards Thalia. Like he's got it in his mouth and he's like dragging it. And then he flops down on it to sleep. What about everyone else?
And then a rift formed. It was drawing infinite evil, and we are transported through astral space to a whole different place.
What?
And I'm creating like spells and things to like illuminate or create fire or acid, and then Birdie died.
A little bit prior to that, but sure. Most I think of
Lucius's story is all over the place in terms of chronological order.
Also, Rosemeadow doesn't know that Quill died, and so, like, she is engrossed. She's, like, with the kids, like, on the, like, sat looking at Lucius, and she's like, ah! Like, she's, like, completely shocked and surprised by all of this stuff going on as well. So she's, like, fully in there with the kids, basically, like, completely bedazzled by the storytelling.
You know, Sentry did too. And to carry her about for a little bit.
Oh, no!
Heavy! Heavy when you carry over a long distance. I will say, Sentry, love you, but lot of metal there. Lot of wood and metal. It's a lot to take care of. But she's back, and now she's even bigger. So, you know, don't do that again, because, new Sentry. Sentinel Prime. Big challenge.
I'll try not to.
I think I gained some good muscle, though.
Good plan.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the end of the story. Lucia sits down.
That's kind of the end of the story. There was a few missing details, I will admit, and a lot of it was all over the place, but it was all the right events, just not necessarily in the right order. But
it sounds like you people have done quite a lot.
We have. We've been around the place, but it's our first time in Lunaria. So I think it's best if we learn more about you. I mean, have you had much dealings with Penelope of Panoply before?
I must say, we've never encountered we saw you pass when you were going into the wood, but I've not had much dealings with the Free Knights, I must say. But we've certainly heard of various groups.
And the Lady Penelope just sort of like nods her head, and her group are just kind of keeping to themselves for now, sort of like eating and resting and things like that. They did pay a small amount of gold to the centaurs as well, and you can see that one of the tents is being sort of like, things are being taken out of it to make it available to them to rest in. But she just kind of raises a glass of wine to Ulstis the centaur, and just says, "And your most gracious hospitality is most welcome. He's most welcome, my good sir." And she just kind of tips her glass, and he just nods back. "Yes, we've had various visitors. It has been quieter of late. Something is going on with the noble houses, some war somewhere that the emperor has requested troops for or some such, but we're not soldiers. We don't apply to that, so... I must say, the Middle Romans don't have much love for the Empire, as it is."
Hear, hear. We're in agreement there. They also,
very good to know.
Attempting to take our homeland as well, from where we're from.
I'm sorry to hear that. The Lunaria, thankfully, it was a peaceful transition. The Valkyrians... Well, the Twilight Nebula means that they cannot bring all their full force to bear here, but they still could have invaded if they wanted to. They certainly have the might and the numbers to do it. But the Fey Lords, for once in their many long-lived lives, they worked together and they made an accord. And we thankfully have been left alone. Yes, Lunaria is still a peaceful and quiet land, quiet world.
That's good to hear. Unfortunately, there was some... diplomatic talks, but there's a divide, and now I believe war is brewing where we're from.
Difficult. I never would have expected the Fae Lords to unite on it, but something brought them together for certain. But unusual, to say the least. But still, let's not trouble ourselves with such depressing talk. Why did you come to Lunaria? What brings you here?
Well, I looked to Nova.
It's not no easy thing. Is it to help your friend? And he gestures at Rosemeadow.
Twofold, really. First, yeah, Rosemeadow doesn't remember, has no recollection of the Feywild. None whatsoever.
None at all, you say?
Rosemeadow?
Yes, sorry, we were just playing a game. And you can see that she's like playing a game with the kids, basically. And she's just like, "Yes, sorry, did you have a question, Nova?"
Tell me everything you know about your childhood.
Well, I was found by the mayor of a place called Kayla's Rest, and they found me in a beautiful field of roses out in the woods, and that's why they call me Rosemeadow, and that's about it. And then I grew up, and I learned how to make little alchemical things, and I sell, you know, hair tonics and crystals. I decided that my birthstone is an amethyst. Like, she goes into Rosemeadow speak a bit.
Yeah.
And you can see that Ulstis is like watching her and like listening surprisingly intently. And he just says, "Oh, interesting."
It seems certain that she is a meadower, as you...
Well, given her... perhaps it's her appearance, first of all. Many centaurs... There are many centaurs here in Lunaria. If you're not from the Meadow Roamers, which is our group, I suppose, you tend to look a bit scarier. Plus, there's her nature. I mean, look at her. And he just gestures, and she's, like, clapping and happy and stuff like that. She's just like... The centaurs of my family and the families were the branch families that we're all connected to. We were created by a tree spirit that had a great love of life and nature and people. And that's instilled in all of us. It's instilled throughout all of us. We have a great love of things, people, living things. Tends to make us very likable and amenable. And I can tell. Just gestures at Rosemeadow. She's definitely one of us. I think... Well, perhaps when she gets a bit of sleep, I can tell you a bit more.
Right. Very
I'd
well.
I'd rather tell you without her here. It's a bit of a sad story.
Oh.
Oh.
Understood. Oh, well, Rosemeadow, you must be absolutely shattered from all that travel. You know, we're adventurers, so it's...
I didn't want to say anything, but I am getting quite sleepy. We walked for so long, and all this delicious food, and it's just really nice, and the fire's nice and warm, and yeah, I'm getting pretty sleepy.
Well, I'm sure our gracious hosts here can find you somewhere to rest.
Indeed, indeed. Elowen, come and let's take our friend here and let's find her a nice place to sleep, maybe. In one of the tents and things like that. And they're like, oh, yes, indeed, Alcissan. They gather a bunch of people and like some of the knights also retire. The injured ones are all going to start heading off to bed early. But Penelope and Radovan and Dago will stay up. And yeah, people start filtering off. The kids get taken to bed. Rosemeadow, probably Kyrie would go with her as well. Like Kyrie's just like, I'm kind of sleepy. I don't tend to walk that much. And then she'll like go with Rosemeadow and stuff as well. But leaving pretty much all of you guys and Ulster's, just Ulster's up. He's the only one who stays up. And he kind of goes into that, like, you know, a barman, like a landlord, like at lock-in, starts like getting like the good booze out and like starts laying glasses down for everybody and pours like a little shot. And, you know, it's got that kind of like lock-in vibe. Nice. Where it's basically like you guys, Lady Penelope, Radovan, and Ulster's just sat around a big fire and like
real
the night
talk.
Begins to fall in. This is like late night camping, like the stars are overhead. Nice. Although, like Thalia said, there is this kind of purple haze that covers the night sky. Even though it's nighttime and it's dark, there is this kind of gentle purple haze that blocks out some of the stars. There are two moons at least that kind of shine down. But it's all reflected off the lake and off these like floating rock waterfalls. It's very picturesque and beautiful.
Before we carry on with the episode, we're going to take a quick sponsor break. Let me tell you a tale of a time almost lost, of a man whose intelligence came at a great cost, a doctor, a wizard, a famed necromancer. But when it comes to corpses, he's a bit of a chancer, for the bones and the flesh that the man chose to fetch would never match the doc's gruesome sketch. To create a new monster, see, that was his goal, but the creature still slept at Bell's final toll. Well, blast it and damn it, my creation is bust! This creature won't live till all becomes rust. And that did the lightning burst through the sky, impacting the monster, making flesh fry. What's this? There's life! Life in you yet! His maniacal laugh ceased by what came next.
My master, my leader, my father, my god, you've given me life! But what's up with this bod? The skin you have gifted is covered in hair. And what is this smell that poisons the air? A life of nightmare is what you have shaped. Have you not heard of the wonderful Manscaped?
Manscaped, you say? How in the hells can they help? You expect them to save you from the hand you've been dealt? Smooth skin, sweet smells, all a man can desire. Live the life that you want with a confident fire?
The performance package is the perfect fit. Clipping nails with the Shears Nail Kit. Trim hair with precision with the 4.0 mower and 25% off with the code HIGHROLLERS.
Resurrecting the dead, the doctor's army grew. Smooth skin, sweet smells cover the land anew. All of his victims watched in terror, agape, thanks in part to the wonderful Manscaped.
Manscaped will not resurrect the dead or assist any maniacal scientist in taking over the world, but it will make you smell great and give you supreme confidence. Just use the code HIGHROLLERS for 25% off and free shipping. Sorry about this, Manscaped.
When you first arrived, and I thought you were just travelers, but when you mentioned her name, Rosemeadow, seeing who she was, I think, well, I'm somewhat amazed, really. It's an old story, kind of passed down. It was told to me when I was a boy. It's a bit of a sad, tragic tale, really, but I think I know who she is, and I think I know why she doesn't remember anything.
Please, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that we don't have much love of the Empire in the Middle Roamers. You know the Empire, you said you've had run-ins. Do you know their commander, Zakira?
Yes.
Yes, she seems almost too close at all times to us.
She came. She has a. She's done many great things for the Empire, many magical advances and technologies that have improved the lives of people in various worlds. But the Feywild has seen the darker side of Zarkira, perhaps one that even the Emperor doesn't know. She came to Lunaria maybe a century or two ago. She was seeking out creatures with unusual or powerful magical abilities, innate. Unusual, something outside of what is expected of fey creatures. They went missing. She would find them, introduce them, talk to them, and then within a few days they vanished. Never came back. All sorts of creatures. Pixies, centaurs, satyrs, many things. There's a branch family of ours. They're called the Rosemeadow family. They welcomed a new child into their group long time ago. This child was special. Their mother was a unicorn, not a centaur or anything like that. They were an actual unicorn who could take centaur form. And so they were blessed with very rare magic, half centaur, half unicorn, very powerful druidic magic. It was apparent even in a young child, it was clear that her powers would grow and become quite formidable. And they feared for her. When they heard of Zarkira seeking these magical creatures, they were afraid. And so, and then Zarkira came for them. Zarkira came to the Rosemeadow family. It was all smiles and offers and diplomacy, but I think we all knew what was really going on. And when they refused, Zarkira attacked. She killed many of them. But the child's mother, Alantea, a unicorn, she gave her life to hold off Zarkira, to fight her, and buy the Rosemeadows as much time as they could to escape, to flee. And in their desperation, they made for an old dark wood, a place that many fey folk don't go anymore. And inside they sought out a powerful sorceress, a spider witch, called Dawnweaver. They made a deal. Dawnweaver agreed to hide the girl. She said that... What did she say? There's an old legend. I can't even remember it exactly. Maybe if you find them or if you can speak to somebody, they may know better. But it's something like... I will take this girl to a world that Zarkira cannot reach until something brings her home, something like that. I can't even remember. But it was some sort of prophecy anyway, that she would take the girl to a world that Zarkira couldn't reach until somebody brought her back. But Dawnweaver knew that this would enrage Zarkira. Zarkira is not the type to be denied anything. And she knew that here in the Feywild, that rage could become a threat. And so she forbid the Rosemeadows from ever leaving her glade, Dawn's Hollow, her home in the heart of this dark wood. They could never leave it, because she knew that Zarkira's rage, her anger, her desperation would constantly hunt them wherever they go. And so they've been trapped there ever since, unable to leave. And we cannot go in either. Anybody who enters the forest called Black Stallion Woods, anybody who enters is killed by these roaming spirits. Two riders travel, seemingly unaging, immortal.
Okay, that was quite the tale. And needless to say, I do wish to find out more about this prophecy because, well, she's back. And... It seems like we were the ones to bring her here, so the prophecy definitely pertains to us. But also, I feel guilty, like we've made a mistake here. Rosemeadow was blissful and content in the life that she had, and we've almost forced her into a position where she is to discover this harrowing tale.
Perhaps, but she still has family. Maybe her unicorn mother gave her life, but the Rosemeadows will be her family. They are descendants or close relations. They will be her people. But one thing is curious. She
doesn't seem to have any traits that I would expect. Has she ever shown any magic? Has she used any magic or abilities or the like?
I feel like she
has. Makes potions. She's pretty good at that.
I think by your reactions, she would be quite powerful for her age that she is now. The unicorn blood, if she was indeed this lost child, she should have far more power than she's shown. That's the bit that I'm confused by. So perhaps I could be wrong. Perhaps it could be just a coincidence. Perhaps she's just, I don't know, some other girl that stumbled into a portal or a trick or some cruel spirit or something. I don't know. But
it would also be not necessarily cruel, but disheartening to take her to such a potentially dangerous place only for her to discover it's not really who they were expecting. To build her hopes up like that, to find family.
Well, that's not for me to decide. That's just for you. I'm simply telling you a tale that I've been told.
We appreciate that.
If you wanted to learn more, I'm afraid that, well, the legend of the Rose Meadows has passed through. It's a story that we tell. It's a story that we tell around the fire. The only people that would have more information are the Rose Meadows themselves. Or this Dawnweaver, the Spider Witch, who apparently aided them. They would probably be quite powerful. There are many powerful Archfey and spirits that roam these lands. Dawnweaver would know more. It's not for me to decide. But the story says that she was she would be brought back by someone, some prophecy. You brought her here. And from the sounds of what your knight friend said and the stories you've told, I can't think of anybody else who could defeat these spirits that wander the woods. I can't think of anybody else that could actually help her get there.
Well, I'm wary of our full grasp of Lunaria and the way things operate here, these spirits, manifestations, whatever they are, I mean, they could be far stronger than anything we've faced before.
Could be.
But surely reuniting a family that has been torn apart by Zarkira and Starbane is worth more than any risk. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about her, about them touching everything and turning it into sadness, misery.
Zarkira is a giant bitch, so if doing this would piss her off, then I'm all for it. I'll defeat a spirit. I don't care. Apologies, sorry, I'm very blunt. They probably should have warned you about that.
The fools have gone to bed. Don't worry about that. We're all adults here and we're having a nice drink and a nice story. I don't mind. A bit of foul language doesn't bother me.
Dead piss.
Lucius.
Lucius.
It's not becoming of you, Lucius.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. You're right. You're both right. We owe it to find the truth, even for that family.
If nothing else, you'd be freeing. If you could destroy these spirits or find a way to unbind them or defeat them, if the Rose Meadows really are trapped, and again, I must stress, this is a story that I've been told. I don't know how much is true about it. But if they are there, I mean, freeing family.
It's just the coincidence that she was found in a bed of roses, and she was called Rose Meadow. If that's not
only themselves. We have a here in Lunaria. I don't know how things are in your world, but things like stories and prophecies and coincidence are powerful things. Destiny is a thread, and it weaves through far more than we realize. Connects even the simplest things, the simplest of folk, to the greatest of stories. The humble farmer who goes on to destroy an evil lord, to the young prince who's abandoned and returns home to claim his birthright. All of these things, coincidence is always part of them. They just happen to meet the right people at the right time. They happen to be in the right place, or even the wrong place at the right time. I think if you're here and you brought her, I have a good feeling. But I'm not the one who's I'm not the one who has to go into a dark, scary wood and fight off a couple of evil ghosts. So,
Not only that, I think it's not even our decision to make. It's Rosemeadow's, and I believe we should inform her in the best way we can.
Well, that's why I wanted to tell all of you, because I don't know her. I don't know how she'd react, but you all seem to be pretty sound of mind, and you'd know what's best for your friend. So, I've passed it to you. Now it's up to you, whatever you want to do.
Thank you. And what do we owe you for that?
Ah, nothing. Story's a story. You shared yours, I've shared mine. Think of it that way.
Maybe a trinket from our homeworld.
Well, perhaps if you'd like to buy something.
Oh, we could buy something. And by trinket, I mean gold from our homeworld.
I'll take that. Ah, gold's gold. Gold on any world is always...
Is it 700 you said for those sneaky boots?
A 500, if you want the boots. The well-made boots. There's other things I have out of interest. I have put them in the chat of VMix. I've put a big old list of shit.
Oh, cool.
A lot of them you'll probably be like, what does this do? He probably would be able to bring out some little trinket items. So he brings out like a little staff that he can play bird sounds. Like he can like blow into a section of it and it makes bird calls. He brings out a cloak that always looks like it's billowing in the wind. It always looks like there's a dramatic wind behind you.
Lucius's eyes widen at that and then glances at Nova and back at the cave and back at Nova.
He's got like a very well-made
billowing
game. There's lots of stuff.
I don't have the money anymore.
Please, Bertie, can we have?
Yeah.
Just for the blowy cape effect?
It's a blowy cape. It constantly blows.
How much is the constantly blowing cape?
50 gold. It's really a minor enchantment. It's not nothing special.
50 gold.
Don't sell yourself short. This is a phenomenal piece of fashion.
Glad you like it. That one's actually the capes were made by my third wife. She's the seamstress in the family.
Third wife.
Mm-hmm.
Things are very mysterious here to me. In Gusthaven, we have a single partner, and that's it. Ties for centuries.
Done? How do you... God, what? That sounds very lonely.
Well, we have lots of families that meet and converse. Lots of conversing, actually. No, it is quite dull, you're right.
Sounds exhausting.
Anyway.
Still, if there's anything else, I can help you with, I feel like you've come to Lunaria for a good cause. If there's any information I can provide, if there's any other way that I can help.
Oh, look, Nova. A periapter wound closure. That'd be good for your legs.
Thank you, Lucius. That would be rather nice. I got impaled by a manticore twice.
It could happen again.
Oh, wow. How frequent?
That's the problem with only having two legs, my girl. You need four.
Have anything that adds legs?
I don't actually. No, I don't. I don't have anything for making more legs. I can make you a fine pair of horseshoes, though.
Oh, ooh. Just hands and feet here.
I might.
Are you going to get horse feet, Sentry? Is that what you're thinking? Hoof your feet.
Do Peritons have hooves?
I don't know.
They have claws.
On D&D Beyond.
Peritons.
They have clawed feet.
They have clawed feet, yes.
They have front hooves, actually. They might.
But, I mean, you can choose the form that Fine Steed appears in if you wanted to.
Yeah.
That is true.
All of the I'm going to take those horseshoes.
Well, these horseshoes are, they're magical, not just normal horseshoes.
What do they do?
Well, I will tell you what they do. They are, I guess a common name for them would be horseshoes of speed. They actually increase a horse. They make a creature faster. It bears them.
Sorry, the picture of a Periton. It's got such a derpy smile.
It's got very, it's got a funny little face.
It's about as good as mine with my fangs in.
Not true.
Perhaps have a think on any items you might want to buy for the morning, perhaps. But did you have any other questions about Lunaria, about the Feywild?
Hello, me. Hi. Do you know anything about a place called Heartspire?
Oh, kind of expression goes a bit dark. I do. I mean, I don't know much. We haven't had news out of Heartspire for centuries. We pick up being traveling folk and having people stop by. We do hear a lot of things, rumors, that sort of thing. I think Heartspire, a few hundred years ago now, a while ago, maybe 5, 6, maybe longer, the Archfey who ruled Heartspire vanished, and a new one took her place. I don't know who, I don't know if that's ever been recorded anywhere, but shortly after, a wall of briars sprang up around the city-state. It's Heartspire is like a large city and then a few outlying grounds, but nothing more than that. It's in the middle of a great wood, like most places in the Feywild. The Briar Wall came up, and people suddenly found that they could not easily come and go. Nobody came out, that's for certain. And when some of the nobles, the other regional nobles, wanted to find out what was happening, they sent scouts in, flying scouts, winged elves, airy. They crashed. As soon as they flew over the wall, they dropped out of the sky and landed behind the city walls. Never came back. Apparently, the Archfey have spoken to each other, and they've just simply agreed to leave Heartspire as it is. It's not part of, it's not considered part of the council. It's not considered part, really, involved in anything of Lunaria's affairs. It's just sort of left to self-sustain, I guess, to be itself, but you hear rumors. The sky has gotten darker. Over the hundreds and hundreds of years, from my grandmother's time to my time, the sky has gotten darker over Heartspire. People say that they can see things at the top of the Briar Wall looking out.
What sort of things? Nice things? Faces, probably not nice things.
Mixture. Sometimes they might see a pretty elven woman's face flying on wings, and then it disappears. Sometimes they say it's like a living shadow with eyes like fire. Other times it appears to be a great serpent. All sorts of things, really. People think that it's cursed. People think that the whole place is under some malady, some curse.
Out of curiosity, I don't suppose you've ever heard of a person called Mesmera.
Rings a bell, aye. Rings a bell. There was a sorceress called Mesmera once. Used to be friends of Alicorn's and very potent. People would go to her with desires. People that had wishes. Travellers from other worlds or people here on the Feywild. People that wanted to see things happen. They would go and speak to this good sorceress. I believe they called her the Sorceress in White. And they would go and seek her, but she vanished. She vanished about the same time the new Archfey took charge of Heartspire. I imagine that either the new Archfey killed her or has her trapped or locked up somewhere. Nova, you feel like Thalia is like tighten your like holding her your hand. But I mean, Alstis is saying it genuinely. You don't think that he's lying. He just seems to be what he genuinely
his interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't suppose you know. Speaking of families and Rosemeadow's family, do you know anything of the Whisperwind family?
Whisperwind. He thinks,
and takes a moment. Something tickles the back of my brain. Old. Older than even grandmother's stories. I think she was told stories when she was a girl, maybe. Similar to Mesmera. There was a family called Whisperwind. I think they may have been I think they may have been people in Heartspire, perhaps the ruling family. I can't say I've heard anything about them ever since. Some things happen. Families, especially noble families and those who are empowered as Archfey, rivals can make them disappear. They fall foul of curses, travelers, all sorts of things can happen. Quite a few have fallen in with less savory sorts of other worlds. Demons and devils have a particular interest in Lunaria. It's rich in magic. They feed off of it. I can point you in the direction of Heartspire. I know the way. I can point you in the direction. Whether you can find a way through that infernal briar wall, well, I mean, you look like a resourceful bunch. I'm sure that you'll find a way through, but yeah, I can't say what to expect when you enter.
Yeah, Lunaria seems to have a knack for the inaccessible, whether it's haunted dark woods patrolled by evil horsemen or briar-contained cities.
The nature of it. It's the nature of a place that is all about magic and freedom. It's very easy for those things to not want to be found.
I suppose it's not so easy to just joint wish for an entrance to appear.
You could try. People of sufficient will. The problem there is those wishing for an entrance, those trying to manifest it, would need to have a stronger will than the Archfey who rules Heartspire. Only the Archfey who rules Heartspire could have erected that briar wall, and I imagine they've done so with good reason. But I'm not saying it's impossible.
Tricky situation. We're definitely going to have to be careful. I don't like the sound of cursed briar walls.
I don't like the sound of smiling serpents or, things peeking out at us while we try and imagine a door.
Just fiery-eyed shadows, you know. All the good things that you want to hear when you ask about a place.
I mean,
probably seen it there.
Again, I don't know if this will be effective. I can imagine that knights in the past may have tried. You've got plenty of steel. You've got axes and swords and I'm sure many other tricks. You could always try those. I mean, the briar wall, as far as we can tell, it's just thick and tall. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it can be destroyed, but it could be worth a shot, perhaps. Perhaps Lady Penelope would know more of that. And Lady Penelope is like, I have been listening. The free knights have never tried to go into Artspire. Like I mentioned to you before, we avoid it. As far as we're concerned, it is no longer part of Lunaria and the Feywild. But I do remember there was a group of knights, a group of warriors from one of the cities. The Archfey of that place, he believed that he was owed something by Artspire. When it closed its borders off, he sent a unit of knights. He sent a squadron of knights to go and get it, whatever it was, to break down the briar wall and step in. If I seem to remember, they managed to find a way. I believe fire. I believe that they had a flaming sword. And the flaming sword, they cut the briar, and it worked, but it grew back quickly. So they had this noble knight with a flaming sword lead the way. He cut a path through the briar wall, but it sealed up behind them. They were never seen again. So perhaps fire may work.
One of the few elements that we are well-versed in, fire. But we might be able to make something work.
I've got my lance.
I'm sure you can.
Flames. I have my grenades.
There's
I have a really big hammer and a lot of anger.
I would recommend if you want to chop down briars, you will want an axe or a sword. I don't believe your hammer will do much against their thorny plants.
Boo. Not fun. Nah, I'll give it a couple hits for good measure.
It'll find a way of working, I'm sure.
If you're angry enough, the hammer always works. in my brain, that's what I
sharper, the angrier you get.
Yeah.
I feel like I've told you all I can. All that remains is for you to get a good night's rest, if that's what you intend. We've had one of the tents set up for you.
Thank you.
Again, we must thank you for your gracious hospitality and the information you've so willingly provided for us all.
It's no problem. It's not a problem at all. It's like I said, you shared stories with us. We shared stories with you, and it sounds like you've come with a purpose. And also, you come if your friend is indeed a member of the Rose Meadow branch family, I'm obligated to help you. We help each other. That's what we do. Meadows care for one another. So, and if you do meet them, if you do find the Rose Meadows, tell them that if they need any help, the Fairmeadow family is waiting for them. So,
of course. Right then. Some kippy kip.
Yes, kip.
Is that the new one? Sleepy sleep was bad enough. We don't need kippy kip. Lucius.
Such a beautiful sky as well. I could get used to this.
Thalia just, for the first time, kind of speaking to the group, she's like, it is a very welcome sight to see this night sky again.
My girl.
And with that, I think that sounds like that's going to be the end of the episode. So
yeah, I think we need to talk to Rose Meadow. That'll be fun. Hey. Shattering the dreams of an innocent.
So your mum's dead. Most of your fam's dead.
Let's let Nova do the talking then.
Oh, why me?
Don't let anywhere in the situation.
Very quickly, mum's dead. Ghosts are haunting the place where the rest of your family is.
Yeah.
So the good news is you've got family. The bad news is that
they're trapped in a haunted wood.
Not your mum, though. Not your mum, because she died. It'd be terrible.
This forest can spit so many holes in it.
I spent 50 gold. Lucius can have the goddamn cloak. Okay.
You can add a billowing cloak to your inventory, Lucius. Yes. There you go.
Does this take over any armor pieces, or can I have it as an accessory?
It is entirely an accessory, and it does not require attunement, you'll be glad to know as well.
It just billows on its own. Incredible.
I wouldn't put it past him to take out something actually useful to put the billowy.
Oh, this legendary armor. Mm. And a tune cloak.
I'll get rid of this stormcaller chain.
It billows.
Nice. Finished. Stormcaller chain. You got it from Zephyr.
You know the thing that I can pull down level 8.
You can wear it.
Lightning, and then walking on clouds and shit.
Walk on clouds. Yeah.
I'll remove that.
Plus 2 armor as well. It's like really.
I just drop that on the floor. And then put this in clay.
Sell it to a vendor. Here, give me 100 gold.
You want this for it?
Cool.
Can I do that?
Well, pretty good. Had finished off a fight. Got some lore. Got some drops. Kind of got a couple of different things you can try now. Yeah. I guess the main thing for me as GM, have a look through those items if there's any ones you want to buy off Ulstis. But also, I know you want to talk to Rose Meadow, but decide, are you guys going to go to this Black Stallion Wood and try and help Rose Meadow, or are you like, let's go and help Thalia first? Like, that's what I need to know so that I can prep.
Yeah, I think it's the time.
Thalia's on a time limit. Oh. Rose Meadow's not aware currently.
Yeah, but she's got unicorn blood and she needs to discover her innate fire abilities so she can burn down the briar.
I see. Okay.
Right, yeah.
That's got to be.
Unicorns might have powers that could help in Heartspire, you don't know.
I think, that's the kind of.
It's a trade off. Time, danger, we don't know.
We'll have to see how fast that tattoo progresses.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Happy Halloween. We hope you had a good time. Show us your costumes. If you did any High Rollers costumes, do make sure you tweet them and send them to us, because I always love seeing that stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Halloween. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.